chapter 17, book of Luke, chapter 17. We'll read verses 11 through verse 19. It came to pass as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They, these 10 lepers, lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he, Jesus, saw them, the lepers, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Now, Luke is the only one of the gospel writers that gives account of this event, which is the cleansing and healing of 10 lepers. It was a very remarkable miracle. 10 people healed of the most dreadful disease of that day, at one time and in one place, simply by a spoken word of the Lord. Now, Jesus had healed other lepers during his earthly ministry. There's one other account, which we've already looked at, one other account of Jesus healing a leper. That doesn't mean that there are only 2 times that Jesus healed lepers, but what it does mean is there are 2 recorded accounts. We know that many of the miracles were not recorded because all the books could not hold all of his works had they all been recorded. But the fact that Jesus healed lepers serves as a testimony that he was and is God, serves as a testimony that he could not be defiled. He was the only one who could touch a leper. He didn't touch these, at least we're not told that he did. But he was the only one who could touch a leper and not be defiled. The fact that Jesus healed lepers. Lepers, of course, were outcasts from society. They were looked down upon. They were despised. And the fact that Jesus healed lepers tells us that he receives outcasts. Now, this account opens with Jesus heading to Jerusalem, there in verse 11, as he went to Jerusalem. We're coming to the end of Christ's earthly ministry, and he's going to Jerusalem for the last time. He's going there, of course, for the purpose of laying down his life for his people. He's going there to die in the place of a sinful people. He's going to Jerusalem to finish the work which God the Father had given him to do, for which he came into this world. As he makes his way to Jerusalem, the place of sacrifice, it says that he passed through the midst of Samaria. This isn't the only time that Jesus went through Samaria. Now again, the Jews would bypass Samaria. Samaria was the most direct route to Jerusalem, but the Jews Jews would bypass Samaria because of their utter disdain for the Samaritans. And we do see that one of these healed lepers was a Samaritan. But this isn't the first time that Jesus would go through Samaria, which again is testimony that Jesus receives the defiled and the filthy. So he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And the reason he's going to Jerusalem is he has an appointment with God to keep, again, involving the cross. He goes through Samaria because he has an appointment to meet these 10 lepers. And we're told here in verse 11 that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee in verse 12, and as he entered into a certain village, which would put him on the outskirts of the village. He's just entering the village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And again, the main reason that Jesus goes through Samaria is to heal these lepers. So Jesus enters into this village. And as he enters into the village, the outskirts of the village, there are 10 men standing afar off, away from everybody. And these 10 men had the most dreadful disease of that day. Leprosy was a death sentence. If you were told that you had leprosy, the very word would cause horror. And leprosy was a disease that caused great horror, but it was also a disease that caused great disgust in people. Leprosy was a very disgusting disease. And the diagnosis that you had leprosy would have been a very crushing blow in Bible times. It would bring one to the point of desperation for many reasons. The news that you had leprosy means that unless God intervened, you would surely die a very slow and a very painful death. In a process of time, the leper's skin would become very hard. It would begin to crack. It would be full of sores. It would be full of scabs. Really, the flesh was literally rotting off of the bones. And fingers and toes would actually fall off. They would decay so badly. Their voices would become very hoarse, very raspy. Eyes would be burning. Their noses would be sunken in because of decaying cartilage. Their tongues would become black eventually, so ulcerated and swollen. So it was a very, very painful disease. But that wasn't the worst part. The pain, the physical pain of leprosy, was not the worst part. The fact that you were going to die was not the worst part. The leper, of course, would be excluded from their families. They would be excluded from their friends, excluded from all public worship services, excluded from all functions of society. This, of course, was the reason for this was to contain leprosy, because it was highly contagious. They would have to wear certain dress so that they could be identified, so people knew Stay away from that person. They have leprosy. May have been just the very beginning of the disease. But they still had to wear this certain dress, and any time someone would come near them, they would have to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," to warn people, "Don't come any closer. I have leprosy. I'm contagious." So they were literally outcast with no one to help them. And at this time in their life, they are simply waiting to die. And the leper would die alone. That is, the leper would not have friends surrounding them. And for this reason, these 10 men that were lepers were on the outskirts of the village because they're outcasts. They've been exiled from their families. They've been exiled from their friends. And for this reason, they stood afar off. So we get a picture of these 10 men. Now, we do not know. Luke does not tell us how far advanced their leprosy was at this point. But these men were lepers. And lepers were miserable individuals. The appearance of these 10 lepers, Jesus passes through Samaria and Galilee on his way to Jerusalem. He comes into a particular town, and there met him 10 men. They're standing afar off that were lepers. Verse 12. These men are miserable. These men are suffering. They're outcasts. Depending on the stage of their leprosy, they might be quite disgusting to look at, very loathsome individuals. But these 10 men have absolutely nothing to offer or merit Christ's attention. They have nothing. What can they give to Jesus Christ? What can they do to possibly merit the attention of Jesus Christ? There they stand, 10 of them, and they no doubt had heard of the person and works of Christ. They called him by name, Jesus and Master. So they have heard of Jesus Christ, and no doubt they have heard that Jesus Christ can heal lepers, and they recognize, for whatever reason, they recognized Christ when he came into this town. So they see Christ approaching. They have nothing to offer Jesus Christ. They fully realize their own desperate and urgent need because they cried out to Christ. And no doubt they believe that he could heal them. And we read here that in verse 13, they lifted up their voices, plural. That is, in unison. 10 men in unison, lifting up their voices, and said, "Jesus, Master. Jesus, Master." They knew something about Christ. They knew that he was merciful. They said, "Have mercy on us." So their cry, "Jesus, Master," was in recognition of his authority. They are recognizing his authority. Jesus, Master. They recognize that Jesus Christ has absolute authority. Their plea is, "Have mercy on us." That's their plea. That's the only plea they have. Have mercy. Have mercy on us. And that plea, four words, have mercy on us, that plea reveals a sense of their desperation. You are not going to plead for mercy unless you have a sense of desperation. It also reveals their sense of helplessness. They knew that there was nothing they could do concerning their leprosy. They knew that there was nothing anyone could do concerning their leprosy. Realizing that Jesus had authority, realizing that He was master, their plea is, have mercy on us. That plea also reveals their sense of unworthiness. They did not plead any merit. They did not plead any family background. They did not make any promises. They realized that they were unworthy. They realized that they were unworthy of even Christ paying attention to them. Again, when people would see lepers, they, of course, would go as far away as they could. But these 10 men are crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, revealing their sense of unworthiness of the Lord's blessing. But does it not also reveal not only what they believed and realized concerning themselves, that they were helpless and that they were unworthy, but it reveals that they also believed that He was merciful. No need to plead for mercy with anyone if you do not believe that they have some mercy in them. So they believed that He was merciful. But not only that, they believed that He was willing and able to show them mercy. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now notice what Jesus did. Verse 14. And when He saw them, now you can just, that's one of those short phrases where you can stop and just think about for the rest of the day. And when He saw them, think about when others saw these lepers, what they would do. And then think about, and when He saw them. And may I say that Jesus saw them in a way that no one else did. He saw the depths of leprosy like no one else did. And when He saw them with their disease of leprosy, Jesus saw them in their filthy, hopeless, deplorable condition, with absolutely nothing to offer. And unlike most, He said, unto them. At this time, I believe that Jesus stops and He looks in their direction and He spoke unto them. He spoke unto them while they were in their leprous condition. And here's what He said. Go show yourselves unto the priests. He prescribed no medicine. He did not prescribe some washing ritual. There was no use of material means. Sometimes the Lord uses material means, but He's not bound through material means. That's true concerning everything. As far as miracles can go, the exception is salvation. He did not touch them, though no doubt he touched others. There was no word spoken concerning that the leprosy depart. He did not say, "I will be thou clean." There was no such command. All he did was give them assurance that they would be healed. When he said, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." You see, this was the course of the law. When a leper was healed, Leviticus 14 verses 1 through 3, it was the priest who had to pronounce the leper cleansed. And then, of course, the leper was allowed to go back into society. But he could not do that without the word of the Old Testament priests. So Jesus says, "Go show thyself unto the priest." Those lepers knew what that meant. We're going to be healed. Again, it was the duty of the priest to inspect the leper, lift the banishment of the leper. Following the command to go show yourselves to the priest, and this shows their faith, it is stated that they went. They went. No doubt believing that Jesus would somehow, they didn't know how, but Jesus somehow, by the time they got to the priest, would heal their leprosy. And we read, as they went, they, that is, all 10, there in verse 14, were cleansed. How did they know that they were cleansed? No doubt, when a leper was healed, you could feel something. They felt. I believe they felt something. And then, feeling something, they looked at their skin. And all the leprosy was gone. All the scabs, all the sores, all those little bright spots that the leper would have were all gone. So the healing, no doubt, was felt and it was evident. Because in verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed." As they're going to the priest, he looks at his skin and there's no more sores, no more scabs. They're all gone. His skin has been restored and all the pain, depending on the degree or the stage of their leprosy, all the deformity was gone. This was a life-changing miracle for these 10 men. Their lives have now been changed. No longer would they suffer this pain. No longer would they suffer in exile. A life-changing miracle had taken place. And this one individual was overwhelmed at what the Lord had done for him. And he was filled with humility. He was filled with gratitude and praise that the Lord would bless him so. And we read that he turned back and with a loud voice, verse 15 and 16, he glorified God. He fell down on his feet, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. The other nine, they too have been healed. And they continue to make their way to the priest to be pronounced cleansed. But this one leper returned. Couldn't help himself. He was so overwhelmed, so appreciative, that he had to return and thank the Lord for what had taken place. And we'll stop there. Next week we'll look at this a little further. Let's look to the